Well, thank you, Gareth and team. Welcome this morning. Great to have you here. And I'm going to invite Pastor Timothy to come at this time to read our scripture. And as Ralph said, there's many exciting things happening here at Grace Point, including this morning. We've got our sister congregation from whom Pastor Timothy is the pastor that meets here on Sunday afternoons. And he is going to read our scripture. And we've got a church lunch after, so please stay back for lunch. We'd love to have you here for that. But before we read the scripture, Timothy, why don't we pray? To be honest, my heart is heavy this morning, right, with that tragic accident. I've been to Humboldt, Saskatchewan once. I've driven that highway between Tisdale and Nipawin maybe once or twice. And the brevity of life, eh? So why don't we pause and pray? Oh, Jesus. Last week we celebrated Easter, your resurrection victory over death. We sang of it this morning. We sang of the hope that we have. And sometimes we feel it and other times we don't. And this morning we grieve with those who've lost loved ones. We just stand together with them, Lord, and just ask that you, the God of hope, you, the God of grace, you, the God of comfort, would minister to them. We pray for those young men who are in the hospital and perhaps some in critical condition this morning, perhaps some fighting for their lives. We would ask your healing hand upon them. And God, as the families gather together, we just pray that your presence would just be there in their midst. I heard from one Grace Pointer this morning that one of those boys taught Sunday school. And so, Jesus, I just pray somehow your hope, your resurrection hope, the hope that when we don't understand these mysteries, when we're left confounded and angry and confused, that we can turn to you, Jesus, a God who is for us. And I pray that the surviving young men would know that. I pray that the families would know that. The families of those who this morning are grieving would know that. Families of the coaches of the Humboldt Broncos organization, the Billet families, that whole small town. Even as they've, on their town sign, have asked for prayer, we stand with them in prayer. Jesus, we pray. You administer. And for ourselves, God, you brought us here this morning to hear from you, to connect with you. As we open your word, we pray that this written word would become a living, active word in each of our hearts, in each of our lives, I pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Timothy, it's great to have you here in your congregation. So Pastor Timothy will read the words, and those of us who speak English can follow along in our English Bibles. Mark chapter 1, verse 14.
Today's scripture reading is written in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. I'm now going to read the text in Mandarin. 约翰下监以后，耶稣来到加利利，宣传上帝的福音，说：“日期满了，上帝的国近了，你们当悔改信福音。”This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God for his word. I didn't understand you there, but I think he may have said, I hope we're having Chinese for lunch. This here is Jesus' first sermon, Mark chapter 1. And what is his theme for his inaugural talk? The kingdom of God has come near. When I pray for the church, I often pray that word kingdom. I use the words of the Lord's Prayer. Father, may your kingdom come. May your will be done. Kingdom. Everyone say that word kingdom. It's a word that we don't use very often, but Jesus does. I began reading this week the Gospel of Matthew. And in that script, that gospel, Matthew uses the word kingdom 54 times. We read it 155 times in the New Testament. The first sermon in the New Testament is by John the Baptist, and he begins with these words, Matthew 3:2, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Matthew's recording of Jesus' first sermon has the identical words, Matthew 4:17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. A few verses later, Matthew records Jesus' agenda by writing, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. When Jesus commissions the 12 disciples in Matthew 10, he gives them this assignment. As you go, proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. It's fair to say that Jesus was obsessed with this idea of the kingdom. It seems his very compulsion, as Luke writes. But he said, meaning Jesus, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. We can see this concept of the kingdom is very important to Jesus. Now, it might feel for us like a foreign word here in the Lower Mainland in 2018. So let's talk about understanding the kingdom. It's a bit of a strange word, isn't it? If you were to ask churchgoers this morning as they left churches in the Lower Mainland, what does the word kingdom mean? You might get responses like, I don't know, or kingdom has to do with kings, Jesus was a king, or they might say heaven, kingdom of heaven. Now, when first century Jews heard that phrase, kingdom of heaven, they thought of it as a political kingdom that would be set up and centered in Jerusalem. When we hear the phrase kingdom of heaven, we tend to think about heaven. But we're both wrong. The kingdom of God isn't a time or a place. The kingdom of God is a life under the rule of God. So when Jesus announced that this kingdom of God had come near, he was announcing a new and better life was available, not in some distant time or distant future, but here and now. I submit that to you that we should return to this word, to the meaning of the word, attempting to understand it in Jesus' context. For us, the word doesn't seem real revolutionary or dangerous. Kingdom sounds kind of medieval, nostalgic, times of kings and kingdoms. But Jesus' first sermon, the kingdom of God has come near, it doesn't necessarily resonate with us because we don't have a king in our land, right? We have a prime minister. We have parliaments. We have elected authorities. There's a Senate and a House of Commons. We have checks and balances in government authority. But let's try and understand this word kingdom through Jesus' eye. When Jesus speaks about kingdoms, kings were in power. Kings with absolute rules. Kings who acted like God. The king for the people of Israel was the highest authority. The king ruled completely and sovereignly over his kingdom. He was responsible for the citizens, responsible for their safety and protection, but he could also claim them as his subjects. He could ask them to do anything he wanted them to do, and they had to do it. If they failed to do it, they were living in rebellion and they could be killed. All of their property ultimately belonged to the king. Everything within the bounds of the kingdom belonged to the king. So when Jesus is looking for an analogy, a way of talking about God and what authority God exercises over us, he chooses the highest authority in the land known to human beings. He said, God is above all earthly kings. And so he uses his favorite word, kingdom. And as I hope you can begin to grasp, it's a politically charged word. It's a word that's hot with meaning, pregnant with possibilities. It's going to turn turn heads and cause a stir. It's talking about an overthrow, a revolution. The Romans are in power, and here's this new teacher, healer, who's going around talking about a kingdom, a new society. Now, it's difficult to define that word kingdom, because Jesus never does. He refers to it constantly, but more than giving us a definition, he tends to speak what the kingdom is like, often through parables. A possible definition that I attempted would be, the kingdom of God is the spiritual realm in which God rules. It's the society in which the person Jesus Christ transforms lives and that society. It's God's rule and reign. And so when I pray, Lord, may your kingdom come, I'm praying for God's rule and reign. God, may your kingdom come in my life. May your kingdom come in my marriage. May your kingdom come in my family. May your kingdom come in your church. May your kingdom come across the Lower Mainland. May your kingdom come across our province and across our nation. Come your kingdom. Come your rule and your reign be done here and now. May it be established in our world. Why don't we put, Dale, an image of the Peace Tower up in on the screen there. How many have been to Ottawa and have seen this image? Some of you have been there, a whole number of you. And what does it say on there? He shall have dominion also from sea to sea. And that's taken from Psalm 72, from the scriptures. And some of you may remember before 1982, July 1st, Canada Day was called what? Dominion Day. Why? That was the vision of our forefathers, that God would establish his rule and reign, his dominion in our land. And so today's scripture, Mark 1:14, tells us that Jesus went around proclaiming the good news. What is that good news? That the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, there's this better world, this new world, this world in which God's goodness and his mercy rules and reigns over all people and all things. It's what we've been waiting for. It's what we've been longing for. It's what we've been praying for. It's here now, he says. The kingdom of God has come near. Now, the kingdom of God is both a present reality and a future vision. Luke 17 says, once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Or some of the translations say, the kingdom of God is within you. That this kingdom is a present reality in our midst and within us. In Jesus' day, they never thought of the kingdom of God as being a present reality. They just thought of it as some future hope. The Jewish people were under the thumb of Caesar, the ruling king. He's heavily taxing the people. He's oppressing the Jewish people. And the old timers would sometimes say, oh, someday we're going to be released from this. Someday we're going to be set free. Someday Yahweh is going to take us to paradise, release us from this cruel kingdom. There will be a new kingdom that will come, and cosmic signs will accompany that new reign. But Jesus comes along and says, good news, good news, the kingdom of God has come near. It's here right now. And I will transform your life, he says, and I will lead you in the creation of this new society. That God's kingdom is all around you. There's nowhere you or I can go that God doesn't reign. You can either live and recognize the truthfulness of that, or choose to live in rebellion, rejecting that truth. If you choose the latter, you will miss out on the blessings of the reign of the kingdom. It's not the way that life was intended. We're meant to recognize the reign of God in us and all around us, and to live accordingly. God's reign is not only a present reality, but it's a future vision. We can't live in the bubble thinking, I'm living in God's reign now, and I'm not going to let this fallen world around me affect us. It does affect us, but we also affect it. We live with one foot in the fallen world, and yet one foot in the kingdom of God, God's new reign. We are in the world, but not of it. And so we can't ignore the broken world around us. We are here as part of God's new society to see its transformation. Now, I was wondering this week, if Jesus were alive in 2018, walking around here in the Lower Mainland, would he use a different word than this word kingdom to describe his heart and his desire for our place, our planet, our lives? Now, I'm just speculating, of course, but I'm just wondering, perhaps would he say something like, instead of saying, may your kingdom come, would he say, may your dream come? That the kingdom of God is the dream of God. It's God's desire, God's wish, his dream for us, his dream for our church family, his dream for our planet. And what if you and I were to ask God and say, God, what is your dream for me, for my family, for my church family, for my world? And then what if you and I were to live that way and plot goodness along the way as we join God in seeing his reign established in all areas? Or perhaps we could paraphrase it as, may your revolution of justice come. If Jesus were walking here in the Lower Mainland, would he talk about a revolution of justice that he wants to see happen among us? Now, revolution suggests that something is not right. Something needs to change. Something needs to be overthrown. And the reality is that our world does not run according to God's laws. Much of what happens in our world is radically unacceptable to God. It could be racism, terrorism, the exploitation of the weak, consumerism, violence, individualism, etc., etc. God wants to bring about a revolution to make things right. Now, a revolution not in the sense that we often think about, but rather a revolution of love, a revolution of reconciliation, that people are reconciled to God and people are reconciled to one another. A nonviolent revolution, bringing about God's justice here on this earth. May your kingdom come. May your revolution of justice come here and now, because things are not right here on this planet. What does God's heart for justice look like in the Lower Mainland in 2018? What does it look like for our planet? What does it look like in a place like Tent City here in Surrey? In combating racism in our region? In having affordable housing in our area? In the people of Ukraine hearing the good news about Jesus? May your kingdom come. Or perhaps it may be another term. God's dream, God's revolution of justice. Perhaps Jesus would refer to it as the mission of God if he were alive today. Or maybe he would call it the party of God. As Pastor Steve said earlier, that this is a place of joy, that we as his people are the people of joy, that God's kingdom is a party, his joy coming down to earth. Someone has suggested that God's kingdom is a giant feast where there are no strangers and everyone is invited. It's a present reality, but it's also a future vision. If it involves you and I, the kingdom of God is about God's vision for your life. It's what you and I are to be about. That we get up in the morning and we say, God, can you use me today? What can I do in mission for you today as I seek to live as a citizen of your kingdom? The kingdom, it's both a present reality and a vision that we work towards in our lives for the future. And so let us live as kingdom people. What does that mean? I believe it means two things. Number one, we look for signs of the kingdom in everyday life. And number two, we expect the power of the king in every situation. So we look for signs of kingdom. Because every day in your world and my world, there will be signs of the king's reign. That he will speak, he will guide, he will direct, he will heal. Look for it. King Jesus is very much alive. If you're lonely, remind yourself the king is present with you. Perhaps you've messed up badly. Turn to the living king for his grace and forgiveness. You're ready to react to someone, something they've said to you, but then you don't. Why? It's the Holy Spirit guarding your tongue, the king being present, transforming your life. Something happens by coincidence. The king is directing those circumstances. Look for signs of the kingdom. And secondly, expect the power of the king in every situation. Jesus' final sermon, what did he preach on? Acts 1 verse 3. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. From the first sermon that Pastor Timothy read, Mark chapter 1, to his final one in Acts chapter 1, Jesus keeps talking about the kingdom. And what do we see for the rest of the book of Acts? We see the disciples going around teaching and preaching what? The kingdom. And life in the kingdom. All the way till the end of the book of Acts, when we read these words, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus with all boldness and without hindrance. That's Acts 28:31, the final verse of the book of Acts. What's Paul preaching about? The kingdom of God. You and I live now in the Acts 29 stage. Now, that's not a chapter in the book of Acts, but that's where we live. Because in a sense, the book of Acts is an unfinished book. It's now up to you and I as disciples, as followers of Jesus, to finish it. To expect the King to show up with his kingdom power in every situation. So if you find yourself living under shame, past failure and regret, invite the King's power into your life. You're grieving the loss of a loved one. Claim the King's victory over death. You're worried about school or a work situation. The King is working things out in the invisible realm, and he's asking you, trust him. Perhaps you're living under the haunting of past abuse. Invite the King's grace and healing into your life. Maybe you're fearful about the future. The King will go with you in the future. You are not alone. Maybe you're anxious about a family situation. King Jesus is present. He's at work in your difficulty. New life is available. Jesus said he came to set the captives free. He came to set you and I free. The King's power is available. And the King's power will work not only in you, but through you. We are secret agents in a secret kingdom. Everyone is a part of this. It's not just for clergy. It involves every person who bows their knees to the King's lordship. Jesus said, I've come to proclaim the good news. That's not to turn you into a nice church person, but rather that your life would be invested in the cause of the kingdom. Let's say you're a soccer mom or a hockey mom. What does it look like to be a kingdom person at the rink or on the sidelines? What does that especially mean this week? How does a kingdom person approach school, whether as a teacher or as a student? How does an engineer or a nurse or a pilot or a salesperson or a receptionist or whoever live with a kingdom mindset throughout their workday? It means you go to school for more than just marks. It means you go to work for more than just a paycheck. You are there at the company or at school to fulfill God's will. Yes, you work hard for your marks. Yes, you work hard for your paycheck. But you look for signs of the kingdom and you expect the kingdom to show up there at work or at school. Jesus declares, good news, the kingdom of God is here. Here now. What's your part and my part? Well, the scripture tells us, that Pastor Timothy read, our response is to repent and believe. Repent. Everybody say that word. Repent. Now, when we hear the word repent, we immediately think about sin. And we think about, oh, I need to repent of sin. And we think of moral transformation. But that's not what this passage is about, right? There's nothing that Pastor Timothy read, or we read in our Bibles, that has to do with sin. It's not a traditional call to moral reformation. The point is, the reign of God has drawn near. But we're not looking for it. Or we're looking in the wrong way. That's what we need to repent of. Repent and to be open our eyes and to see the kingdom of God is near. It's here and it's now. So more important than WWJD, what would Jesus do? It's WIJD, what is Jesus doing? Because the kingdom is always advancing. God is always at work. God is continually speaking to you and I. He's recurrently moving. He's at work in our lives and in our world. And so the kingdom of God is not something that we can conjure up or we can invent or we can create. Rather, we receive it. We join God in what He's doing. And so as a community, we ask one another questions like, what is God saying to you? What is God up to in your life? What about, friends, God's kingdom, God's dream, God's revolution of justice, His desire, God's party, whatever, that His kingdom may come. Isn't that what we long for? Isn't that what our hearts are homesick for? We know the world is broken. We know our lives are broken. But there's a healer, a redeemer, a restorer who is making all things right. So what's your longing for the kingdom here in our region, in our church, in your life, in our country? What is your holy discontent? What is your deep hope for how the kingdom can be established? Let us know. Talk to us as elders or deacons, pastors. And together as a Mandarin-speaking congregation, as an English-speaking congregation, together, all of us, we can pray and work to see God's kingdom, His dream, His desire, be established here on this earth as it already is in heaven. And that's how Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. And so why don't we do that now? Let's go to prayer, and I'll allow a few moments of silence. This alive King is here, and He wants to speak to you, to me, to us. Let's go to prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. Why don't we just pause right now? Focus upon God as your Father, your heavenly Father. And not just, Jesus didn't say my Father, but He said our, plural, our Father. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Ponder God, His otherness, His transcendence, His holiness, that He is hallowed. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Talk to Him about what the kingdom means for you, or ask His heart for you, your place in that kingdom. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Oh, ask God that His will would be done in your life, in all areas. O Father who art in heaven, the hallowed one, we so desire to live as citizens of the kingdom, that your kingdom would come. Oh, bring it on here and now, in this place, for us, your people, citizens of your kingdom. May your rule and reign be established in our lives. Come, your kingdom. Be done, your will. Here on earth, as it's always done in heaven. Amen.